Like, I haven't really been live too many times, so.
Okay, we are live. We are live, hopefully in the right place. Hey, everybody. Okay, if you hop on, let us know that you can see us and hear us okay. Say hi. I'm gonna look at my phone for a second too and make sure that we are live in the group. Make sure I see us over there. If you're here, say hi in the chat. So there we are. Okay. So we'll just wait a couple of minutes for people to hop on. I'm here with Brittany. She's one of my clients and she's amazing. And she's going to share a little bit about her story, where she started, where she is now. And then we'll do a little somatic work together. And then we'll go for about an hour and then we'll leave about 15 minutes or so near the end for questions, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions you'll want to ask. And you can ask your question in the chat, but I'd do it more towards the end if you can, so that I can scroll back and make sure that I answer everybody's questions. Okay, so say hi if you hop on so I know that you can see us and hear us. And we'll get started in just a minute. And then, yeah, we'll get started. Let's see. I think I can, let me see if I can invite some people from here. No, I don't think I can. All right, let me just make one more post over here. Say, here we go. Okay. All right. All right, well, we'll get started. Okay. All right. So, hopefully you guys can see us. Oops, that's the group. Okay. So we're gonna get started. So everybody, if you're new in the group and you don't know me, my name is Tracy Principe, and I run the group. And I help you navigate no contact with toxic parents and all the trauma that goes along with having grown up in a toxic, dysfunctional, traumatic household, right? And I use a body-based approach called somatic experiencing. It's trauma is stored in the body. If you haven't read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, it's a good book that explains how your nervous system gets dysregulated. You go into fight, flight, freeze, fawn, which is the people-pleasing, kind of more codependent response that we don't hear as much about. And all the coping mechanisms, everything that happens in your body, where the trauma is stored. In a nutshell, that is what heals trauma, is working through the body. So I met Brittany online. She came to me in July, so just a couple of months ago. It seems like it's been a lot longer, but it hasn't been that long. And she was really struggling with her mother and anxiety. And her mom was really placing so much pressure on her to meet her emotional needs, right? This parent that really was, putting everything on you to meet her emotionally, and that was just absolutely, dragging you down. But I will let you, Brittany, go ahead and introduce yourself however you want, and start with that. Back in July, what was happening, what you were feeling, and why you reached out to me.
Yeah, hi, I'm Brittany. So in July, I was feeling trapped with anxiety. I was terrified to leave the house and even leave my bedroom. I was afraid of everything completely in the outside of that house. So that house was filled with conflict and emotional turmoil constantly, and that's what I was programmed to be around. And that's all that I knew was that chaos. And my mom covertly programmed me to always be there for her emotionally and always be codependent to her and by her side. And so I was attached to her all the time. I was always worrying about her and how she was feeling and how I could be there for her. I didn't even know what self-love was until I discovered it. I didn't even know who I was at all on the inside. I thought I was just meant to be there for her. I mean, I was constantly, I didn't have a life. My mom told me that other people are scary, other people are dangerous. So I was isolated to kind of stay in the house all the time. And I didn't have any friends or anybody really to talk to. And it wasn't until I came across the Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents podcast, where Tracy was talking about her covert narcissistic mother, that I could relate to it. So we had a lot of arguments, me and my mom, after I discovered what was happening. My mom didn't believe me, of course, because my emotions never really mattered. They were never valid. I didn't have any sense of self-worth, self-love, value. I was never important because the world always revolved around my mother. Mm. And so when I had something to say, it was never important. It was always like overpowered by her opinion and her voice and her perspective. Mm. And because she always like knew more than I did. She thought that she was more important than I was. And I believed it. I believed it, and I didn't really know anything else until I found the fact for myself, until I really studied what she was saying. When me and Tracy were messaging for the first time, and I was telling her what my mom was saying, and I was, like, so shocked with Tracy's, like, responses to that, because I was like, what is emotional blackmail? Like, wait, I never was valid. Like, what does that mean? What's manipulation? I was, like, blown. Like, my mind was going crazy. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
But now it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm happier than I could ever imagine.
Yeah, so, let's take a breath there. That was a lot. And so much detail, you know, in that story too, of all of those things that you kind of had that aha moment of just, you know, realizing like emotional blackmail, manipulation, because oftentimes when we have this trauma that is more emotional, and it's, you know, it's like emotional neglect and abuse, we don't have words for what's happening, and it can be very confusing because we can't really put a name to it or a word to it, right? So yeah, you just expressed it all so well. So was there like an aha moment where you just like the light bulb went off and you were like, wait a minute, it's not me, it's her?
Yeah, it was from I think what you were saying, like the sessions with you really gave me the aha moment, and just me sitting there having all that alone time in my room where I could really think about what was going on, because I had nothing better to do at the time. So I had a lot of thinking to do, and I was constantly writing things down, like making videos to myself and then rewatching them about what was happening, and also the situation with my aunt where I was actually going to come live with her first off. And I was telling her my story, and I was being very vulnerable, and a lot of things were going on, and she believed it. She was really supportive, And then just one day she turned on me and called me a liar because she talked to my mom.
Yeah.
And my mom told her that I was crazy. And so that's when I had that breakthrough where it couldn't possibly be me. You know, there's got to be more going on here. I'm telling the truth.
Right. Yeah. And your aunt is your mom's sister, right?
Yeah. One of my mom's, like, multiple sisters. She has 11 total siblings in her family.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. And so that sister sided with your mom and decided not to support you, not to believe you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But somehow you managed to not let that get you down. What happened after that?
So during that time, I was really hopeless. I was overthinking things. I didn't know what to do because my whole life, my mom told me that my dad was a narcissist. And so I believed that. And I built some fear around him, like he was scary, but really he helped me. He saved me from this. He knew how toxic she was. And we instantly bonded about, like, the minute I got here, about what happened, because he went through a divorce with her, and mine was kind of like a divorce with her as well. And so we discussed what happened, and it was pretty similar. We had a great bond over it, which is amazing.
Yeah. So do you want to tell how you had so much anxiety you could barely leave your house, but somehow you managed to get on an airplane and go to where you are now. You left your mom. You got on a plane. Was that your first time on a plane? Or you've been on a plane before?
I've been on a plane before. It was my first time alone on a plane.
Alone, yeah. So you could barely leave your room and you got on a plane.
Yeah.
And left. Talk more about that, because that is just so, I'm just so blown away. I always knew you would do it, though. I had total confidence in you.
Thanks. I never thought that I could ever go on a plane by myself in a million years. I was worrying, well, how am I going to grow up and be an adult and live in my own house? Like, I was always worrying about that because I was a codependent to my mom. But I just reached this point of, like, rock bottom, maybe, emotionally, where there was, like, it was just so much fear in the house and so much emotional conflict and turmoil and chaos and blame that I had to do this for myself because I knew that I wasn't lying. Like, I knew that I wasn't a liar, and I decided to believe myself the night before because I was going to cancel it. I almost canceled it.
I remember that.
And I decided to go just for a trip to visit my dad and see what happens. I wasn't planning to stay, but I did a lot of somatic work the night before and really, like, pumped myself up and empowered myself and started doing some things for me. And I just did it, and it was the best experience ever. I didn't really have much anxiety or anything. I don't know, it was crazy.
So you left your mom's and you to live with your dad in another state, and do you want to talk, and that's just so brave and courageous, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your mom did, you know, she really was upset with you leaving, which is obvious because she depended on you so much. And so her emotional support and everything is now gone. And so she kind of bombarded you when you left, right? At first?
Yeah. She started calling all of her family and telling them that I was up here. And so they all wanted to see me. They were all calling me. And they all tried to sneak me away to my Aunt Becky's house, who called me a liar. There was no way I wanted to go there. So yeah. when I got here, I hung out with my grandma for the day, and I told her that I didn't want to go to my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. She had a tantrum, stormed off, started talking to other people about it, and they called me in the store. Like, she couldn't have a mature conversation about me, like, about right. it with me, about my feelings.
Yeah.
And that really frustrated me a lot. And later that evening, I had a really bad panic attack when I was eating with her, and I almost got really sick. So that was the limit where I'm like, I cannot hang out with my mom's family anymore.
Yeah, that's the limit, right? Your body is telling you.
Yeah. And I had to say no, and they were upset, but I had to say no for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so then you ended up blocking them all on social media and
I blocked all of them on Facebook and Instagram and phone. Yeah, because they would just leave me these nasty messages.
And then do you want to talk about how you're thriving now and you know, you're finding out who you are and you, you know, you're really thriving in your life right now, where before, just back, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how my life has changed. It's like a life that I could never dream of, and it was all because of me, because I took responsibility and I decided to take charge. So those nervous system exercises really helped me learn how to control my anxiety and relax, and also not being around my mom, not having that emotional burden anymore of the conflict and the turmoil just does it for itself. Like, my anxiety isn't as bad.
And getting away from the getting away from that for sure.
Yeah.
It's a huge release.
Yeah, not being in that environment and knowing that she doesn't have the power over me anymore. Like, I've got all of my information now. She doesn't have any of it. I have two jobs now. I'm a certified health coach now. Like, I can make income now on my own to be able to go buy groceries. Yeah. I can go driving now.
You can drive, but she would not even let you drive.
No. The day I got my license, she glared at me. She was not happy.
Not happy that you got a driver's license. Yeah. That was, I remember how huge that was. And you were thrilled, like any young person, to, take the driving lessons and get your driver's license. And she was upset because she knew that she would lose some control over you.
Yeah. I mean, she told me to get out of the car multiple times when I was driving. Like, she just couldn't handle me being in control. And when I wanted to move out into an apartment, you know, while I was in college, she and my brother just gave me that glare and didn't even want anything to do with it.
Right. And so she saw you as someone to meet all of her needs. And if you were gone, or she was losing control of you because you were gaining your independence, which is a normal thing that a young person wants to do, and a normal parent should encourage those things. And she didn't do that because, you know, she needed you there 24/7 to help her with her own emotional instability, which is not your job, not your responsibility. And so you went off and you did all of these things and you feel like a new person.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk a little bit about, you don't seem to have much guilt about it, or you don't have, you know, like, you're not thinking about your mom, oh, poor mom, or guilt, or I should, you know, forgive or unblock her. You're not thinking those thoughts.
No, I'm not. And she tries to tell me that I should be guilty and, you know, I should forgive because, you know, the devil has a hold on me if I don't. She's trying to, like, tell me that I'm going to go to hell if I don't or whatever. But I don't have any guilt about it. It's because I feel so good. And I know that it was never my responsibility in the first place to ever be that person for her, to ever, like, always just live for her and be codependent to her. And I don't know, something just changed in me to realize that I need to put myself first and my needs first before anything else's.
Absolutely. Yeah. And meeting your own needs, right? You meeting your own needs and having, you know, it's very empowering, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's something totally new that I've never even thought that was possible. I thought my mom was supposed to meet my own needs and, you know, be there for me and comfort for me. And that's why I was always scared of being alone and being by myself. But now that I'm able to do that, like, independently, it's not so scary anymore.
It's not. So that world that she made out to be this big, bad world is actually not so scary.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And then people, like, she made your dad out to be this monster who he's not.
Yeah.
And people aren't all bad, right? So she was just projecting all this, her stuff on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And just putting that weight and burden on you.
All of her opinions and beliefs on me, and I just believe them because I didn't matter clearly to her, and so all I had was her opinions to believe, and it was kind of a trauma response because if I did come out with my own beliefs and opinions, she would get upset at me.
Yes, and you weren't allowed to have your own opinions or own emotions. Or how did she deal with, you know, if you were sad or you had an emotion like anger or sadness, or you wanted to express, you know, an emotion? What did she do with that?
I was upset and if I was crying, she was like, she would be, oh, you want me to just cry to them, you know? Or
she made it about her.
It was always about her, or she would start complaining about something that was happening in her life, and I would have to apologize for being upset about what I was feeling. Because it was always about her.
Wow. Yeah.
Or she would try to do something for me and then want something in return, like conditional love, to try to make me feel better.
Right. Yeah. So it was so really that always about her and that conditional love, which are kind of, you know, the classic signs of narcissism. So even if she's not, and if, here's the thing for anybody that's watching, they don't have to be like a full-blown narcissist. They can just have some of these tendencies, and it's already pretty damaging, you know, with this making it all about them, the conditional love, lack of empathy, the invalidation, the gaslighting, right? She did a lot of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time. I think she's a covert narcissist for sure.
Yeah.
But pretended to be like this holier than thou Christian empath and perfect person. She always said that she knew better than me in health and wellness and in Christianity and in everything pretty much that I never knew enough. I was always trying to be perfect for her and always trying to be this perfect Christian for her. And I basically, I abandoned myself to do that for a couple years. And I realized that I lost myself in the process.
Yeah. So that's a really powerful statement, you know, and that's what we do. We abandon ourselves because we don't know any better, and we don't know that there is another way, and we lose ourselves in this, you know, this conditioning and all of these beliefs that are not even ours. We just had, you know, parents that pushed this, their beliefs and their insecurities and traumas onto us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you went out in the world and you found out, like, this isn't true.
Yeah, it made me so afraid and paranoid, and mm-hmm. because that's all I know is her fears, and it scared me. So, yeah.
Scared, yeah, scary, yeah. So now you're free of that. You're finding your way in the world, and that's exactly what you should be doing at your age, right? And then you have your dad who actually turned out not to be a monster, but is pretty supportive.
Definitely, he's really helped me just get up on my feet. And he's helped me purchase a car and helped me get a job and just get ready to be independent in my life.
Yeah.
Also, his girlfriend as well has been a big help.
That's amazing. Yeah. And how does that feel to have that support? Because you didn't have that support before.
It feels so different to have somebody actually stand up for you. When my dad was standing up for me last night, when my mom was totally arguing with me on the phone, it felt surreal, like, to have, you know, people validate my emotions. I mean, you were the first one to actually validate my emotions, and that was a crazy
thing. Oh, wow. Yeah, so just even, you know, just that one supportive person in your life can make all of the difference, and it could be anybody, right? It could be a therapist or a coach or a friend or a teacher or a professor. Just one supportive person that really gets it, can just that alone can make a huge difference in your life. And you certainly deserve that support, and you have it from your dad and his, you know, his new girlfriend, which is huge, that she accepts you as well and doesn't see you as a threat or is jealous or anything, you know, unhealthy things like that, right?
Yeah.
It's huge. All right, so let's do a little, are you up for doing a little somatic work so we can show everyone kind of what we're doing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. And then if you guys have questions, go ahead and pop the questions in the comments now, and then we'll do this for a couple of minutes, and then we will answer your questions right after this. All right, so put your questions in the comments, and then we'll get to questions. All right, so let's go ahead and let's get grounded. How does that sound?
It sounds great.
Okay, we can always use some grounding. That always feels nice. And so let's go ahead. I invite you to just feel your feet on the floor. And you can have your eyes open or closed, whatever's more comfortable for you. And just feeling your feet on the floor, noticing that, how your feet connect to the floor. And taking a breath, if that feels okay, just noticing, just kind of breathing and exhaling if you want, and noticing your butt in the chair, how that feels, just noticing that support in the chair. And if the chair has a backrest, just noticing how your back feels. Maybe you want to press your back in there. Just feeling that chair supporting you and noticing how that feels to be supported and trusting the chair and the floor. And then just feeling your body, just taking a scan if there's any tightness or tension anywhere, just bringing your awareness to that tension or tightness. And then bringing your awareness to anything that feels less tight, less tense. Maybe it just feels neutral, or maybe it feels pretty good. Just noticing that. And noticing your breath. And then now coming back to the room and just noticing the room that you're in. You can look around and let your eyes wander, see if your eyes fall on anything that your eyes might want to notice. Be a color or shape, object, a texture. And then as you do that, notice what you might feel in your body when you find that picture or object or color that your eyes want to focus on. Notice your body and what your body feels when you look at that. Just noticing what that feels like. And so when you are glancing at that, what do you feel in your body? Any sensations or feelings?
I just feel calm and at peace.
Calm and at peace. Yeah, that feels pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And how do you know that you're at, you know, calm and at peace? How do you know that?
I don't have this adrenaline rush in my body. I feel like grounded, and I feel like calm, and like I don't have to be like rushing anywhere, and I can just sit here and feel relaxed.
Yeah, that adrenaline rush. And when you think about how you used to have that adrenaline rush, where did you feel that?
Hyper arousal and adrenaline. I usually felt that in my gut. It's always been in my gut.
In your gut, yeah. And I remember, I think that used to actually make you kind of nauseous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was struggling with nausea all the time living with my mom, and I had a huge fear of getting sick when I left the house, and I always just thought that I was going to, because I wasn't at home and I wasn't with my mom, where I thought that was a safe space. I thought that home with my mom was safe, and that the world was scary. So every time I left the house, I was really scared and
So you just felt that feeling. Was it like what did that feel like in your stomach? Like a tightness? What did it feel like?
I was usually pretty bloated a lot. Hugely bloated and really reflux in my throat a lot. Before I left, I had a lot of chest pain in my heart. The heart area for the first time, which really scared me. But I knew it was from my mom because I cried it all out in front of her, and it was gone after that.
It was gone, yeah. So then when you felt, what did that, when you had that chest, was that like tightness, or what was that like?
It was like really like sharp and
sharp,
restricting and tight. It really scared me because I didn't know what it was. It was like pretty moderate.
Intense.
Yeah.
And so when you feel that space now, you know, your heart and your stomach, how does it feel compared to just a few months ago?
Well, it's doing much better. If I have too much caffeine or sugar, it goes crazy. But
yeah,
staying away from that is important. But yeah. Otherwise, while I'm doing somatic work, it feels much better.
Yeah. So when you think about, you know, just going through your day and you're, you know, you're driving now, you're working, you're doing, do you feel pretty calm like most of the time throughout the day?
Yeah, I feel actually pretty calm. I don't have much to worry about anymore because I don't have to worry about my mom coming home from work every day and having to be there for her. I have the freedom to drive wherever I want to, and I can go to work and I can have social conversations with my new friends, which I haven't gotten in years. In years, it's been crazy.
Wow.
And it feels so surreal. I feel pretty good just doing my daily work because I'm focused and I'm kind of relaxed when I'm focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And so when you talk about that, you know, you're smiling and what is that? Where do you feel that right now when you think about, wow, I can have friends and socialize like a normal young person? Where do you feel that right now?
I feel it just, I think like mainly in my chest and just pretty much everywhere. It just feels like this light, happy feeling.
Yeah, so it's kind of radiating. Would you say like moving through your body?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and it's light. Yeah.
Very light and like exciting. It's like excitement is what it is.
Excitement energy. And how do you know the difference between like excitement energy and like anxiety energy? Right. Cause sometimes it can get kind of confusing.
It can. Excitement energy is different because it feels like joy. It feels like happiness, which I've never felt before. Joy is a total like rare emotion, but it's an emotion like laughter. It heals you, but anxiety breaks you down and like damages you. You know, you start to feel sick when you're scared, you're anxious. But when you're excited and happy, you feel energized and healthy and full of like love and
Okay. Yeah. And what does your body want to do when you have that excitement and joy? What do you feel like your body wants to do?
When I feel like really happy and excited, I think my body just wants to dance. Like, honestly, I just dance it all out. And
yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then because I think when you have that anxious feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, did that feel more like constricting and maybe your body even kind of tensed, you know, was you were like tense?
Yeah, I felt like tense pressure.
Yeah. Because you were like kind of frozen, right? You kind of were like
I felt like I could just run around constantly and felt kind of helpless and hopeless and dizzy and very fast moving. Just this, this fear, but I had a lot of adrenaline, so I was always just not knowing what to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And now that joy is and happiness feels like you just want to move and dance and your body is light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you feel that radiating from head to toe.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's absolutely incredible and amazing. You know, you released so much in such a short period of time. It's absolutely amazing. And so if you think about where you were to where you are now, do you have any tips or advice for people that might be watching this that, you know, who are really struggling?
I say if you're questioning somebody's behavior and the sense of safety in your home, I feel just that's a red flag. If You feel anxious a lot, and you feel like you're not in control and depressed. I say to just look at starting with some self-love. Start there. Start doing nervous system exercises and regulation, and just try to like think about what's going on. You know, maybe start journaling, write things out. Talking to someone really helps for sure about what's going on. I started watching a lot of podcasts about like self-love and self-growth and narcissism for sure. I feel like learning about that was really important.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then really understanding how that trauma and gets trapped in your body, right? That all of those responses, the anxiety and the upset stomach and all of these things happening in your body were a symptom and a reaction. And that's pretty clear because you got away from that and it got better.
Yeah. So the first step would just be to educate yourself on emotional well-being and trauma and narcissism. That would be the first thing that I would say.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Really understanding how all this works, right? And having that aha moment.
And also maybe talking to someone helps a lot in getting that support, because it's almost impossible to have that aha moment yourself when you're constantly gaslighted and blamed, when your mind becomes like mush.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Having someone validate you and your experiences really helps a lot for sure.
Yeah, so important. So very important. Yeah. And especially for those of you that might be watching that, you know, that don't have that support or person that's going to validate your experiences. You know, sometimes we just need someone to hold that space for us and say, yeah, that happened, or that's okay, you know, and just maybe even talk about it for the very first time, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add that I didn't touch on?
Keep going. That's really important. Just every day, just to keep going, even if it feels hopeless, even if it feels really scary, just to keep going and continuing those nervous system exercises will build your nervous system up to tolerate the constant stress and turmoil, and it's really important.
Yeah, and hopefully get out of the toxic situation if that's possible. I mean, that really, you know, you had your dad that for support. Not everybody has that, or not everybody's able to get out of the toxic situation. You can begin to do some things. It's going to be harder if you're, you know, still living with parents. But it's still, there's things that you can do that are still possible, because you started while still living at your mom's. So we're happy to take questions. So for Brittany, things happen really fast. Again, some of the keys are that first aha moment where you're just, you know, like your whole world blows open. And that was the same for me as well. It's not the same for everybody, but it is for a lot of people, where you just have that aha moment and literally everything just clicked and it all made sense for me. And so that's when, but you know, and trust me, I was a lot older than Brittany. This did not happen when I was in my 20s or 30s. It happened late 40s. Okay. So it doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. It can happen. You know, it's never too late. So, you know, those changes that happen really fast are really that aha moment where everything just clicks, and then you get right into, which was what I did, the somatic and nervous system work, which is what Brittany did. She reached out to me. And so the nervous system exercises is what I teach. If you guys are new to the group or new here, I have the monthly drop-in classes that are $20, which gives a lot of the exercise. You know, I do a lot of the exercises, and people that do those drop-in classes, you know, they'll use the video to do the exercises over and over again. And that right there is a huge help. People sleep better. They their anxiety lessens. And so that alone, it's work that most people respond really well to pretty quickly, because your body doesn't want to be in this state of fight or flight or freeze. It doesn't want that. And because it got into this state, it can get out of this state, especially for those of you that, you know, suffer for decades with panic attacks and anxiety and all of those things. And doctors and some therapists and other healthcare professionals don't understand that your body got into it, it can get out of it, right? And it doesn't want to be so dysregulated. So, and most of my clients that do this work, they don't need medication anymore for anxiety attacks or panic attacks. Or they reduce it greatly. They reduce, you know, that significantly. So the nervous system exercises are specific for, you know, building capacity. Your nervous system got, you know, in the survival mode, right? And then it gets stuck there and it stays there. And as an adult, those are your coping mechanisms. But this is why you have panic, anxiety, especially around your parents. We see that in the group all the time. People, you know, get a phone call or an email or something happens, and it's like a complete regulatory breakdown of the body, right? Somebody says, I had a migraine for 3 days when I, you know, talked to my mom, or I had a panic attack like you did. That's the stored trauma, and your body's kind of like maxed out. It had enough. So we have to create that space in the nervous system to calm it a little bit, start calming, getting, you know, things get a little easier and feel a little better, right? And that happens fairly quickly for most people. If you stick with the exercises, and then we move on to other things. So really, that's all we're doing in the beginning, is that safety and stability, which is exactly what you did. And you did the exercises in between sessions. You know, you everybody that does them between sessions, that's when the changes happen the quickest, because you really worked on those right away. As soon as I gave you those exercises, you were on it, working it. And yeah, it really made a difference. So does anyone have any other questions? Let me see. Did you want to add anything to that?
I guess just repetition of the exercises, and it will definitely like benefit you later on. Even though it seems like it's not working at first, it's going to build up your nervous system, and it's gonna work later on.
Yeah, for sure. And it works, you know, fairly quickly. And obviously life ebbs and flows, right? So life, you know, there's always gonna be things in life that, you know, like maybe the car gets a flat tire, or, you know, there's a bill that you get a bill in the mail that is kind of unexpected, right? And you weren't prepared for that, or, you know, things happen in life, and that's just part of life. The thing is that when you're more calm and regulated and grounded, it's easier to manage those things, right?
Yeah.
And we can have tools to manage those things that life throws at us. And that's our window of tolerance. When we stay in our window of tolerance and not in that hyper arousal, that fight, flight, freeze, you know, life can still ebb and flow. And yeah, maybe one day's a little, wow, today's a little stressful, right? But it's still like, okay, I can get through this.
Yeah, because we're not working for perfection. We're working for just management. Doing the best we can. We're not trying to, you know, feel perfect all the time. That's not really realistic, just trying to manage our nervous system and calm it down when we can.
Just to relax
with our bodies and feel calm and at peace.
Exactly. And having that body, what has that body awareness done for you? You know, really noticing like, oh, I'm feeling that adrenaline, right? I'm feeling that stress response. And you notice that and you can say, okay, let me just, you know, take a breath or pause or what, like, what has that body awareness done?
Yeah, it's helped a lot because usually when I'm anxious, I'm in hyper arousal or hypo arousal. I don't know which one it is, but I pay too much attention to the environment and I view it as a threat. And that's when I realize that I need to get back into my body, into my safe space and ground myself. Just to take my attention off whatever's going on and just to come back here to where I am.
Yeah.
It helps a lot.
Yeah. And so do you have a spot, like one particular spot in your body that is like your safe spot or that you come back to?
Yeah, but my safe spot would just be like up here, just my chest area, like giving myself this hug.
Yeah, the self-hug, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that one, yeah. Yeah, so just doing that self-hug, and sometimes you could even say, I am safe, right? I am safe, I'm okay. And that's that kind of self-nurturing that we never got because we didn't get a parent or a mother to say, oh, it's okay, you're going to be okay, right? She just told you, no, the world is scary and unsafe.
Yeah. And even if she did try to tell me that I was going to be okay, it never helped. It never did.
It didn't. Yeah, it probably was. It probably came with a condition, right?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. So that is that part of the self-love that is really that self-nurturing that we didn't get, right? We didn't get that self-soothing from a mother for whatever reason, whatever's going on with that parent, the mother.
Yeah,
she wasn't available for that.
It's really important to have an emotionally regulated caregiver to, you know, be there. When you don't, it's sending kind of the wrong message, I feel like, to your child that the world's safe, unsafe and dangerous. Like there's no hope. But if you have like an emotionally regulated caregiver, you know, you have someone that's there telling you that everything's safe and everything's going to be okay. It validates your emotions and comforts you. Yeah. When you don't have that, you kind of have to do the re-parenting to your inner child. And doing that somatic work helps a lot. Just telling
that's
somebody
right.
safe and grounding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you have done that just so remarkably. And you totally get like the whole nervous system thing and the somatic thing. I mean, you just have a ton of wisdom. If I had known all that at your age, you know, I mean, you get all of it. And so anybody have any other questions before we wrap things up? If you end up watching the replay, feel free to ask a question. We can come back and answer it. And so I think really, you know, you're a cycle breaker, right? You are breaking that cycle.
Yes, definitely. I just see the family cycle of trauma and what it's done to everybody.
To everybody.
To relatives and their relationships. And I'm just like, I don't want to go through that. I'm gonna change it. I'm going to do something different because I see that it's not successful and it hasn't worked and it's not healthy. I decided to stop it and to change it and to start creating a new healthy cycle.
And that's just amazing, because that's really what we're here for, is to break that cycle that nobody, and you're probably the first in your family, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's done that. Everybody's staying in their, you know, their own manufactured reality to avoid pain or whatever it is they're avoiding. And you've stepped out of that and said, you know what, enough. I'm gonna do something different. Even though I don't know what that is yet, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna blaze that trail, right?
Yeah. Well, I know that my life is my responsibility now. I get to choose how I want to live it, and
you get to choose.
I'm gonna have a healthy life. That's what I want to have, because I know that the life that I was living was not helping me in any way. It was destroying me inside, and
you could feel that because your body was really breaking down,
mm-hmm.
and you were getting emotionally and physically. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's again so important, that, you know, the body, the emotional and physical, eventually, you know, showing up as physical symptoms with that unresolved trauma or that stress, chronic stress, that's a killer in your body. It just manifests as disease and pain, and because you've got that cortisol and adrenaline shooting through your system all the time, right? So that's one thing that you guys really need to understand, that cortisol and adrenaline pumping through your bloodstream from chronic stress is really what breaks down your body, right? Not healthy. So releasing that and getting to a calmer space, that's why most people, no more panic, no more chronic pain, all of that kind of starts to go away. And so it can totally, absolutely be reversed, and more people need to know just how important this is. So I think we'll, if there's no other questions, I think we'll wrap things up. I wanna thank everyone for joining and tuning in today. Thank you, Brittany, for coming on live and being so willing to share your story. And I hope that it, you know, can help you guys. If you guys are watching the replay and you have any questions, please feel free to ask, and we'll come back to your questions or comment, or let us know that you watched this and you enjoyed it or you got something out of it. Thanks again, Brittany. I'm just so proud of everything that you've done, and I'm so honored that to know you, because I just feel like I really enjoy watching your life unfold and everything that you're doing. So I'm honored that I will, you know, continue to get to witness that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy to be able to come live and talk to you today. Hope to do it again sometime.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do it again for sure. Thanks so much. This was fun. All right, you guys, I'm going to end the broadcast. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.